Okay, we're going to open our Bibles here to 2 Corinthians, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is sort of a neat section of God's Word. Me there? All right. We're going to start here in verse 1. And it says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Okay, and that word faint, it's to become discouraged. Seeing we have this ministry. And to understand this, we need to look back. And we're just going to read a little bit in chapter 3 because it's referring to the ministry of the Spirit. Okay? The ministry of the Spirit. So just flip the page, or in my Bible anyway. And we're going to pick it up in verse 6. Verse 6 says, "Who also has made," referring to God, "who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament," or New Covenant. "Not of the letter, but of the what?" Spirit. "Of the Spirit." Okay, now the letter, and you'll see it in its context here, letter is put for the law. Okay, the written law. You'll see in another place that ministration of the law is referred to as Moses. Okay, it's just simply called Moses. And it's a, you know, it's a figure. So, but the Spirit, well, let's read it again. "Whoso hath made us able ministers of the new Spirit, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter," what? "Kills. But the Spirit gives life." Sort of interesting. We got a comparison happening here. "But at the ministration of death." Okay. Now the letter we just read killeth. Now it's being referred to as the ministration of what? Death. "Written and engraven in stones was what? Glorious. So that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away." It was temporary. This is referring to the record, I think it's in Exodus chapter 34, where Moses had gone up to the mount, and the law was written on tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments. And when Moses came down, his face shone. And the children of Israel were like, "Whoa!" And Moses had to cover it. He had to put a veil over his face because his face shone from being in the presence of God. Isn't that something? That's what it's referring to. Okay? But there's a comparison being drawn here. I mean, that was glorious. That was glorious. Some guy comes down, his face is shining. That's pretty glorious. And yet, the comparison being drawn here is where it's called the letter kills, and it's the ministration of death. Temporary. "Which glory was to be done away." Verse 8, "How shall not the ministration," or the ministry of the what? Spirit, "be rather glorious." See? Now you have a parenthesis here in verse 9. "For if the ministration of the ministry of condemnation," that's referring to the law, to the letter, "be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory." See? So this ministration that's being compared to the ministration of the law is, it's the ministration of the Spirit, and here it's called the ministry of righteousness, exceeding glory. It's like in a pitch dark room, you're really thankful for a nightlight. Right? Boom, nightlight. Whoa, I can see. Yeah, I can see a little bit. Okay, then somebody turns on a 250-watt bulb. Right? The light of a nightlight, it's kind of lost. That's what's sort of being drawn here, the picture that's being drawn. For if that which was done away was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness or boldness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face. See? That the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Isn't that something? You know, many of Israel had, the law was like their glory. It was their calling card. It was their identity. You know, we have the law. And what happened is it blinded them to what the law was. It was temporary. It was just to watch over until the Christ would come. But they were blinded. See, and here we read until this, and when Moses is read today, referring to the law. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it, their heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, verse 17, the Lord is that Spirit. And the word Lord is being used in the same way as Moses was a little earlier. Where Moses was put for the law, here the Lord is being put for the ministration of the Spirit. The ministration of life. Do you understand? Okay? It's being used in the same way. When Moses is read, refers to what? The law. So here, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. Verse 18. But we all, with open or unveiled face, beholding as in a glass, and this glass is, it's a mirror. But the mirrors of that day were not like ours. It was usually polished metal, and it would be distorted. You know, it wasn't an exact image, just due to the quality of the mirror. So we beholding, as in a glass or in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord are changed. And that word change is transfigured. Transfigured into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's something. What we have today is glorious. This ministration is glorious. But just as the law pales to the glory of what we have today in this time in which we live, will pale in comparison to the glory that will be revealed at the return of Jesus Christ. Talks about that in Romans 8. That glory that is to be revealed. We can't see it now. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to come back to 2 Corinthians in just a minute. 1 Corinthians 13. Talks about a mirror here, too. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about love, the love. And it's translated charity in the King James, but it's the love. And I want to pick it up in verse 8. It says charity or the love. And it's the reason why it's the love is it's this love that's being talked about here as opposed to all other kinds of love. Okay? So the love that's being discussed here never fails. Whether there be prophecies, they shall what? They're going to fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall what? Vanish away. These words basically mean to render unemployed or inactive. Okay? For we know in part, and we what? We prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And this is referring to Jesus Christ, when we'll see him, we'll see it here in a minute, when we see him face to face. When we go back to 2 Corinthians here, we're going to see that what we have today is a token. It's a token of what we have coming. The things that are mentioned here, manifestations of spirit, like tongues, like prophecy, like knowledge, these things are temporary. They're in part. They're only in part. That's why it says in this next verse, verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be what? Done away. When I was a child, I what? I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I came a man, I put away what? See, now you've got to keep the comparison in mind. Because I've heard this scripture handled some pretty crazy ways. See, speaking in tongues is perfect prayer. It's intercession. It is amazingly powerful and beneficial to the saints. But compared to what is going to be revealed. You see? Isn't that something? The knowledge that we have now is awesome. But there's so much we can't know. But there's a day coming. We're going to see him as he is. As he is. Isn't that something? It's going to be a mind blower. But we're going to need new bodies to handle that. See? And we don't have those yet. Verse 12. For now, we see through a glass what? Darkly or obscurely. See, this glass here is referring to that mirror. The distortion that comes with that. It's obscure. At best, we see obscurely. We see bits and pieces. There's so much we don't know. But we know this. We have everything we need that pertains in the life of godliness. Right? Absolutely. Everything that we need. See? We see through a glass darkly, but then, what? Face to face. See? Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Wow. See? You know, it's in 1 John, it talks about this. Beloved, now are we sons of God. But it doesn't yet appear what? What we shall be. Isn't that something? We're sons of God now. I belong to God. I'm a son of God by seed. I'm in Christ. I'm seated in the heavenlies with him. I'm a citizen of heaven. But what I have and what I am has not been fully revealed. That's coming. For now, and we're going to read it in a few minutes, I have this treasure that was won for by my Lord Jesus Christ in an earthen body, in an earthen vessel. Because for now, this world has been subjected to a hope. Right? And it talks about that in Romans 8. As children, that Spirit of God that we have, that new nature that's born within, it bears witness that I'm a child of God. I know that I know that I know that I'm a son of God. But then it talks about being children, we suffer together with Christ. Because we have these earthen bodies, we have these earthen vessels. We live in a time, and we're going to read about it in just a moment, where the adversary is still at work. There's a day coming when he's not. See? Isn't that cool? And what we have right now, we have tools. We have the Spirit of God. We have the Word of God. And these things that help us to stand, that help us to walk, that help us to walk by believing and not by sight. Okay. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians. Verse 1 of chapter 4 again. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, see, that ministry of the Spirit, that ministry of life, that ministry of righteousness, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We don't get discouraged. Verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. It means trickery. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully, or as to set a snare. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, they had nothing to hide. They were walking openly and honestly before God. And the reason why this came up is because in Corinth, there were men who were commending themselves. There were men who were bringing the saints into bondage. They were handling the word of God deceitfully to set up a snare, to get people to do things, to think certain ways. And they were lauding themselves. And that's addressed other places in the book of Corinthians. But just with that understanding, what Paul is so beautiful, by revelation, is saying, hey, we do what we do before God. We got nothing to hide. See? Isn't that something? But, verse 3, if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost or are perishing. In whom the God of this age has blinded the minds or the thinking processes of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, it is a glorious gospel too, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, it is by Christ that we get to God. Christ represented God beautifully. See? Isn't that something? For we preach not ourselves, not like some of these others. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake, for his sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful, I love that phrase. Give the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See? There's no way unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. But, verse 7, but, as glorious as this is, as amazing as this is, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of who? May be of God. And not of us. That's something. Not of us. Verse 8. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair or overly so. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down or knocked down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying or the deadness of, and it should read, of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest or evident in what? In our body. Isn't that something? You know, I read this record and I think of some of the things that these men went through. You remember when Paul got stoned? And they left him for dead. Remember that? And the next day he came in preaching Christ. That the power might be of who? Right. See, and not of us. That's something. So then, death works in us, but life in you. And what's sort of neat is, and what Paul is laying out here is his service to these saints. His service. And it was on their behalf that they might get Christ. Kind of neat. We have in the same spirit of the believing, is what it should read, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. See? Isn't that something? You know, really what this verse is saying is our words, our life is what we believe. It's what we speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. That's something. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. A better rendering of this, or a clearer rendering of this. For all things are for you. That the grace increasing toward many may cause the thanksgiving to abound to God. Isn't that cool? See, that life that was being made known available, the making known of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, and that grace would be extended unto many. See, and the thanksgiving of that would abound to God's glory. God is glorified when men are saved. God is glorified when men believe on Jesus Christ. God is glorified when men go from darkness to light. See, from death to life. God's glorified. Isn't that awesome? Because it was his plan. It was his desire. For which cause? We faint not. For which cause? We faint not. See? There's a day coming. There's a day coming. And what we're reading here is that, you know, Paul, by revelation, there's a day coming when we will be presented by you to Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Presented with you. For which cause we faint not or are not discouraged, though our outward man perish or is decaying, yet the inward is renewed day by day. 4:17, our light affliction, which is but for a what? It's but for a moment. See? Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. And you know, this really ties in with what we read in Romans also. That the sufferings of this present time are not what? They're not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. See? That glory that's going to be revealed hasn't been revealed yet. But when we see Him face to face, isn't that something? That's when we're going to see it, that glory. We're going to know even as we're known. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it works, or it produces for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of what? Glory. You know, you've heard me share that this life is short, see, but it's not insignificant. It's significant. See? It's really something. We live now looking forward to our hope and those things that God has for us. And we continue to grow. We're not going to know everything, but man, we can grow. We can grow in our knowledge and our appreciation and our reverence for our God, for our Lord Jesus Christ. We can grow in our capacity to love our brothers. We'll get better at it. We'll get better at forgiving. We'll get better at those things. We just stay put. See? And the way we do that, the way we don't get discouraged, the way we don't faint, it's coming up here. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look or focus, and this is what we heard in Manifestations earlier, we look or focus not at the things which are what? Seen. And that's referring to our eyes. That's referring to this right here. This time in which we live, this time that's been subjected to a hope, this time in which the God of this age can still blind minds, an age in which we shine as lights when we hold the Word of God. But that's not what we look at. That's not our focus. And we're going to have to build something from God's Word in order for that to be the case. We're going to have to build a little bit of God's Word. We're going to have to build a little bit about the hope. While we look not, we focus not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? They're temporary. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. And the reason why they're referred to as not seen is because it hasn't happened yet. Down below in chapter 5, this, what we just read, is referred to as walking by believing, not by sight. See? We walk by believing. By the believing that comes from God's Word. You guys want to read a couple more verses? All right. I'll do this quick. You've got an illustration that happens here in chapter 5. It's kind of neat. And it's an illustration drawing that new body with this earthly body. With this tabernacle, it's called. See? For we know that if our earthly house of this tent, which we learned up above is temporary, which in the previous chapter is an earthen vessel, right? The treasure is in this earthen vessel. For we know that if our earthly house of this tent were dissolved, we have a building, and it should read, from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Four, In this situation, this tent, this tabernacle, this time, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. See, it's kind of neat. The temporal body, this body of flesh, this earthen vessel, a lot of illustration and comparison in this section in there. It's kind of neat. Is a tent compared to a building. See? It's kind of neat. A tent compared to a house. One is temporary, one is permanent. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. And naked here, in this illustration, it is to simply be dead with no hope, nothing to look forward to. For we that are in this tabernacle, this tent, groan, we're burdened, not for that we would be unclothed or simply to die, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of what? Of life. That mortality might be swallowed up. I love that phrase. And in 1 Corinthians 15, that very thing was revealed. Those that are alive at the return of Jesus Christ, mortality will be swallowed up by what? By life. The dead in Christ will rise first, then those who are alive and remain. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest or the token, the deposit of his Spirit. God has given us that deposit. That Spirit of God, whereby we can operate manifestations and do these things that are temporary. Until we are fully clothed with the return of Jesus Christ, see him face to face. Isn't that something? See, and it's for this cause that we faint not. We don't get discouraged. Because sometimes things can come up that are discouraging. See, but we don't allow that to be our focus. That's not where we put our focus. We keep our focus on the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We keep our focus on the big picture. See, which God has so graciously revealed to us. There's a lot he hasn't revealed to us, but there's a lot he has. And so we can hold on to that, and we can focus on the things that aren't seen. Isn't that awesome? And knowing that our God is faithful, and that he loves us, that he's called us, we have that Spirit of God in, we have a Father who's a delivering God, who's good, who withholds no good thing from us, it says. Isn't that something? But, you know, at best, it's obscure compared to what it's going to be. Now, that doesn't mean that we live these, you know, obscure lives and that the word is, you know, it's okay. But no, it's awesome. It's awesome to be able to pray to God, to go to his throne. But in comparison, don't forget that. It's in comparison. When Moses came down from that mountain, it freaked Israel out. I mean, his face shone. You know? But compared to us and that Spirit of God, now all of a sudden, it doesn't look so shiny. Right? And what we have is so awesome, is so incredible, it's powerful, it's wonderful, it's gracious, we can bless, we can turn people from darkness to light, and yet, in comparison, it's temporary. Isn't that something? And then, and just to think that God has revealed that to us. See, so when things are discouraging, or you feel overwhelmed, or, you know, man, Think about the word. Get it in perspective. You know? And we help one another to do that. Kind of bring each other back. See? So, amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right.